It's been more than 500 days since Russia invaded Ukraine. The port city of Mariupol remains under Russian occupation, and we get very little information about what's happening there that's not filtered through Russian state media. But images of the siege of Mariupol last year shocked viewers from around the world, and they remain some of the most compelling evidence of atrocities committed by the Russian military. Those images only exist because of a team of Associated Press journalists who stayed after other reporters left. A new documentary shows in vivid and often disturbing detail how those journalists risked their lives to bear witness to that siege. It's called 20 Days in Mariupol, and its director joins me now. Mstislav Chernov, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thank you.
This documentary is gripping. In the very first moments of this film, there's this moment when I'm watching a Russian tank coming down the road right next to a hospital where you are hiding, and then you see the turret begin to slowly turn until it looks like it's aimed at the window where you're standing. I mean, my heart, and I can't imagine.
Yes, it was very difficult. We actually eventually ran away from that window, but after filming how these tanks are shooting at the residential buildings, this is always a struggle between trying to survive and trying to film.
But then it must have been hard not to run away from Mariupol. Why did you stay?
It was, I think, partially because the decision to stay came before even the siege started. To go, we already knew that eventually, just because of the geographic placement for a symbolic meaning and a tactical meaning for Russia, it's going to be surrounded. That's when decision was made, and we just had to manage questions of how can we survive, how can we make sure that the footage gets out, that we get out. So that's all the technical stuff. But the decision to stay was made even before the siege started.
Your team won a Pulitzer Prize for public service this year for the work. And then the Pulitzer Committee quite rightly cited your courageous reporting. You are from Kharkiv. Other members of the team that was with you are also from eastern Ukraine. And as you say that your decision was made before the filming started, I assume that part of that decision was personally motivated. Is that right?
There is a sense of responsibility and a duty, because this moment in Mariupol, this moment where we are now at 500 days, it's all a crucial moment for Ukrainian history, and every Ukrainian understands that. So a part of that is just my job, but also it's my duty as a Ukrainian to do this. That motivates, and that gives me energy to keep filming. I went to Kharkiv, to my hometown, after we left Mariupol, and it was also terrible. After the shelling, bodies were lying just in front of the house where I lived for years as I was a student. It can't be more personal than that.
Yeah.
And that alone motivates you to just to do what you do.
You were there in the immediate aftermath of Russia's bombing of a maternity hospital. I wanted to play a clip of the documentary there. A police officer named Vladimir asks you if he can make a statement on film in English. Let's take a listen to it.
Russian troops commit war crimes. Our family, our women, our children need help. Our people need help from international society. Please help Mariupol.
That's not the only time that people see you with cameras and make pleas to the rest of the world. And yet you say at another point in the film, we keep filming and everything stays the same. How could more death change anything? How have you come to terms with both the incredible impact of your work and at times what must feel like 500 days on, not enough impact?
That is a very good question. So the film is the way to finally analyze my work and all those questions I carried through these years of reporting in various countries, not only in Ukraine. I think there is always a part of me that is staying frustrated by how little we can do. And yeah, there is no photo or video that can stop a bomb from falling. But some people found their loved ones through the footage that we've sent out. They found out where their loved ones are, and they came and they evacuated them. They saved their lives. We only later found out that this footage was used to negotiate the green corridor that was open for civilians on 14th, through which we also were able to leave. So my hope is that it also saved some lives by just helping to let people out. But also just people coming to you on the street and asking, so what is going on? Like, is Ukraine still exist? How things are in Kyiv and Kharkiv? So people in Mariupol specifically, because it was such a phenomenal, unusual siege when there was no information coming in and out, people really needed press to tell them what's going on.
And Russia has tried to say that your reporting is fake, and that this lack of information getting into Mariupol that you're talking about here, it did cause a lot of confusion, not only during the siege, and even though we're not entirely sure, I assume it is still doing that now. There's one point in the documentary where you're crowded together in the entryway of a building, and there is a group of people there who are fleeing what one man says were cluster bombs. Let's take a listen to it. So there's a man in the crowd who says it was the Ukrainian army that did the bombing. What kind of impact did you see? What did you see happening when people were starved of information, when they didn't have the information that they needed from news organizations and reporting?
So that is actually a very good example of what happens to people in a vulnerable state of mind. People in distress, they're really confused and panicking. So it is very understandable because it's very human. Everything you see in a film is a human interactions. It's less of interaction of a journalist with, let's say, subjects. It's more of a me as a part of the society interacting with other members of society, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing, arguing and crying together. So, yeah.
You know, I wonder, we don't actually, as I mentioned, know what is happening in Mariupol since it became occupied by Russian forces. We know that at least 25,000 people have been killed there, which is astonishing. Much of the city has been destroyed. When I watched this film and saw just how much of the city was devastated during that siege, it's so difficult to imagine what the future might be for Mariupol. Even if it is ever liberated from Russian control, do you think Mariupol can recover?
I remember when I first left Ukraine, after a while, I went to one of the media conferences. I was in Rome, and I was shocked by a normality and colorful, vivid life after what I've seen in Ukraine, right? After so much death, yeah, and bleak images and hardships. And I said, it's so hard to look at people living normal lives and think about Mariupol at the same time. And then this person told me, you know how many times Rome was burned down and it still was rebuilt? So that actually gave me a lot of hope, because with goodwill of people after it's deoccupied, it will be rebuilt. All we can do is to wait for the deoccupation, and then we can start unfolding the extent of the war crimes. But we do have an insight of what happened to other occupied cities, to Bucha, to Kherson, Izum, and there were tortures, there were killings, and so on and so forth. So even if we don't see what is happening right now in Mariupol, we know what's happening, because we know what happened to other occupied cities that got deoccupied recently.
Mstislav Chernov is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist for the Associated Press and director of the film 20 Days in Mariupol from PBS Frontline. We have a link to it at hereandnow.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Stay safe.